I'm the Moose part of the Moose and Laura team, and I'm the director of the Emory Center for Public Health Preparedness. I'm going to tag team this with Laura, who is the deputy director of the center. And just so y'all know, I've heard some really funny ways of how people have dealt with this slide. I'm not nearly as creative. I'll just say that neither Laura nor I have any financial relationships to disclose. In terms of learning objectives, by the end of the session, you all will be able to describe the role of the Leadership Institute in public health preparedness for nursing leaders in addressing emergency preparedness issues in Georgia. And then secondly, describe the role of the Emergency Preparedness Summit for faculty in Georgia Schools of Nursing in addressing emergency preparedness issues in Georgia. By way of background, and what Laura and I are going to talk about today is two activities of the Emory Center for Public Health Preparedness, and we may sort of fall into its acronym, which is the Emory CHIP. But it's been funded since July 2002. It is part of the national network of CDC-funded Centers for Public Health Preparedness. And our mission really is to provide training and education in a variety of emergency preparedness topics. We have multiple focuses. You know, one of them is the development of training and education through the use of different computer technologies like CD-ROM and web-based DVD-ROM. We have a relationship with the University of Puerto Rico's Graduate School of Public Health, so we have an area and a focus with Spanish language trainings, and then also with nursing leadership, and it's this final one that we are going to talk about today. And I'll turn it over to Laura.
Hi there. I'm Laura. I'm a little bit taller. Make sure y'all can hear me. I'm going to begin today by providing an overview of the Leadership Institute in Public Health Preparedness for nursing leaders. The Leadership Institute is an activity offered by the Emory Center for Public Health Preparedness in collaboration with local public health districts in Georgia. The Institute is designed for nurses serving in supervisory public health nursing positions at the district and county levels. To date, we have held 5 institutes. The first institute was offered in 2004, and you can see a list of the districts that we've worked with all together. By the way, Fulton County, which is the area in teal up in the north end of the state, is in the heart of Atlanta. We're currently wrapping up the 5th institute, which is targeted to Health District 9-2 with headquarters in Waycross, Georgia, which is the area in green. This is an area comprised of 16 counties, primarily rural in the southeastern portion of Georgia. The institute goals were to train participants in core public health, leadership, and public health preparedness topics, to prepare them for new or changing leadership roles in their public health practice community, and to equip them with the skills needed to assess their community's ability to prepare for and respond to public health emergencies. The overall objective for each group was to plan for establishing and implementing a strategic national stockpile, or SNS, dispensing site in their community for a disease scenario. This is a picture of our very first cohort of Leadership Institute participants. The Institute was designed as 3 2-day on-campus sessions, which I'll describe in just a minute. Each institute included what we called leadership lunches. These were informal but private lunches with public health leaders such as the Dean of the Rollins School of Public Health, the Medical Director of the Georgia Division of Public Health, and experts from CDC. In between the on-campus sessions, participants were required to complete intersession activities. In addition, each participant had access to an online course site, which was set up on Blackboard, which included supporting information and materials and provided a communication vehicle among participants and faculty. The capstone project was a culminating project. It was completed and presented approximately 2 months after the last on-campus session. Participants received approximately 45 to 50 continuing nursing education credit hours for participating in the institute. And these are pictures from participants, from the cohorts of participants for 3 of our other leadership institutes. This is a screenshot of the Leadership Institute's online course site. This page is the announcements page, which was the main point of entry for our participants. The buttons on the left lead to other materials and functions that support the course. For example, presenters' materials, the agenda, intersession activity assignments. hotel and meeting location information, as well as discussion boards to communicate with each other and to post assignments. This slide and the two following provide a general idea as to the content presented during the on-campus sessions. The theme of preparedness ran throughout all the sessions, even those sessions that address primarily core public health topics and skills. And for each leadership institute, we modified the agenda to better meet the specific needs of the district. These sessions right here on these slides are actually were presented at our most recent leadership institute. As you can see from the slide, sessions in the first two-day training focused on emergency plans and protocols, including the role that public health plays in these plans, assumes in these plans, program planning, including how to develop a logic model and identify key stakeholders and their interest, evaluation and interpreting data, including a basic understanding of program evaluation and practical ways to interpret data for public health decision making, public health law, which focused on Georgia's legal systems as it pertains to public health and the legal issues that might arise in the event of an emergency such as quarantine. The second on-campus session included an entire day devoted to risk communications and media relations, including an opportunity to talk to a panel of media contacts over lunch, as well as another entire day of a basic disaster life support, the BDLS training, which was the standardized basic disaster life support course developed by the National Disaster Life Support Foundation. These were the topics presented at our third on-campus session, a session focused on the principles of public health surveillance, and as a special request of the district office, a session on how to use Web EOC, a web-based incident management tool. Since nurse supervisors are often asked to train other nurses or volunteers, we offered a session called Developing Others, which introduced participants to curriculum and instruction design. Then using one of our center's other products called Master the Disaster, participants developed a disaster-related tabletop exercise. In the session called Preparing for All Hazards, each participant facilitated a portion of one of these tabletops. And to wrap up the on-campus trainings, the session Public Health Preparedness and Response in a Changed World addressed public health opportunities, constraints, and collaborative efforts now and in the future. Now, these are the intersession activities that participants completed between the on-campus sessions as small multi-county groups. All participants took part in a district-wide S&S pod drill and were asked to identify the key stakeholders and their interest and to construct a logic model for an S&S dispensing site in their assigned community. In these small groups, participants also identified a facility in their community to host the dispensing site. They obtained a floor plan of the facility and they walked through the facility. Groups also created brief descriptions of the community that would be served by the site. One of the few activities that participants were asked to do individually was to interview a non-public health community leader in that community or in their community. Interviews focused on their knowledge and understanding of emergency preparedness plans in their community, what they believe the work was done to prepare for an emergency and any perceived gaps that they saw, and what was oftentimes the most interesting was their understanding of the role public health has in preparedness plans. Approximately 2 months after the last on-campus session, each group presented their final capstone project at a day-long meeting. Community presentations focused on dispensing site plans for an anthrax scenario, including a personnel and recruiting plan, facility floor plan, and dispensing procedures and policies. Groups identify what they perceive to be community strengths, needs, or potential gaps in service, and next steps for their community to focus on. They also discussed how their plans for the dispensing site would change should they be responding to a pandemic influenza scenario. Guests at the capstone meeting have included key district staff, state public health employees from the Office of Emergency Preparedness and from the Office of Nursing, and community stakeholders. At the conclusion of each leadership institute, we co-produced with the district a proceedings document. This is one of the the documents we've done so far. Each proceedings document includes an overview of the Institute, a summary of the individual capstone presentations, district-wide strengths, opportunities and next steps, additional feedback about the Institute, and lessons learned and recommendations for the future. These district-wide next steps provide the basis of one of our evaluation activities. Speaking of evaluation, participants completed satisfaction evaluations, you know, like the achievement of learning objectives and effectiveness of presenters and instructional strategies for each session of the Institute as well as the overall Institute. In addition, a one-year follow-up evaluation was conducted for the first two Institutes. As I mentioned in the previous slide, this evaluation focused on the completion of these next steps identified by the Institute participants. We've assembled what we have identified as the benefits of the Institute that we identified either through these evaluations, through anecdotes, or through our own observations. Regarding emergency preparedness, there was an increased awareness among participants of local emergency preparedness efforts and of the SNS process. The Institute seeks to promote continuous improvement of county and district emergency preparedness plans, as well as connectivity with community partners for emergency response. Each Institute provided education on biological, chemical, radiological protocols, and disaster life support processes, and help define public health nurses' expectations and responsibilities in emergency preparedness. Institute participants also had an increased understanding of the public health challenges in the 21st century. With regards to community involvement, benefits include expanded skills for collaboration with community agencies, increased knowledge on how to conduct community needs assessments, develop logic models or develop trainings, and improve skills to communicate with media in the event of an emergency. Participants developed leadership competencies outside the clinical area and developed a proficiency for learning through the use of online computer technologies. Each Institute cohort appeared to strengthen their supportive network among public health nurses within their district. And a few participants even acquired the back-to-school bug and are exploring graduate programs at Emory or elsewhere. We've had a successful run of leadership institutes over the past 5 years and believe that there are several reasons for that. First, we have worked very hard to tailor the design and the content of each institute to the participants' needs within the district. We've also received full support and commitment from the medical and nursing directors of the health district and from the participants. The Institute has also encouraged different levels of collaboration within the district and counties. For example, district-based nurses have worked on teams with county-based nurses. Nurses from one county partner with nurses from another county. And nurses collaborated with district epidemiologists and with emergency coordinators in ways that they may not have done so before. And in conclusion, I think this is a really good example of successful practice and academic partnership, and that we have made some good friends and partners throughout the state. At this point, I'm going to turn it back over to Moose, who's going to talk about the summit.
So Laura has just described an activity where we worked with public health nurses. I'm going to now switch gears, as she said, and talk about the Emergency Preparedness Summit for faculty in Georgia Schools of Nursing. This was originally created really in order to increase the number and the type of health professionals that make up a prepared workforce in the state of Georgia. The original intent was that we were going to have summits that focused on faculty from different types of preparation programs. So we'd have a summit with nursing faculty, and we'd have a summit with environmental health faculty, and maybe there'd be another summit, you know, with medical faculty, and we had these grand ideas. We started with a focus on nursing faculty for a couple of reasons. First is the large percentage of nurses that make up the public health workforce, and secondly, in the state of Georgia, we have 35 nursing preparation programs. Our first summit was held in August of 2005, and the summit really provided an opportunity for nursing faculty to gather from across the state from many different programs and talk about preparedness topics. The focus of discussion was really threefold, looking at the role of preparedness education in nursing preparation programs, talking about the role of nursing schools in educating the existing nursing workforce, and then the role of nursing preparation programs and their students in responding to emergencies. You know, some of the outcomes that came from that first summit, first of all, the participants requested future summits, and we had in mind we were going to do future summits. But what they really wanted was they wanted to continue the dialogue within the nursing preparation programs. They didn't want us to divert to environmental health programs or medical schools or other kinds of programs. They really wanted to continue the dialogue amongst themselves. We also found that we had a need to develop some communication strategies in between the various summits we were going to have. So we developed a listserv. We also developed an online community for the participants. Again, this was done through the Blackboard Course Management System, the same system that we use with the Leadership Institute. And I think probably the most valuable parts of that were we were able to list websites and relevant documents, and those were good resources for the individuals who have participated in not only that first summit, but the ones that have happened since. We had a second summit a year later, and we had a public health nurse from Louisiana come and share her experiences during Katrina and the aftermath. We also had updates from the State Office of Nursing, pan flu update, insights from the principal investigator of the Emory CHIP, the Emory Center for Public Health Preparedness. And then in the afternoon, we had breakout sessions looking at emergency preparedness content within four specific specialty areas within nursing. And the discussion that happened in those four breakout sessions centered around the following kinds of things: what emergency preparedness content areas were needed within whatever specific discipline was being discussed, you know, what were some of the possible instructional strategies that might be used? You know, was it drills? Was it guest speakers? Was it role play, lectures, seminars? Also talking about specific ways to incorporate the training into the curriculum in terms of, like, how do you fit it in? Is it an elective course? Do you tag it onto a course that's already part of the curriculum? Do you take advantage of student nursing organizations that were in the individual programs? And then finally, existing resources that the participants knew about was shared as well. Our third summit was in April 2007, and here we provided some more didactic content for the participants rather than sort of sitting around rooms and just chatting with each other and talking about things. They had said, you know, there's really some information we want to know. And so this was done in the form of two lectures. One, we gave them we had a lecture on incident command, and then one on risk communication. And then what we really spent the remainder of that summit doing, and I guess I never said this, but these were one-day summits, but what we spent the remainder of that day doing was having participants from previous summits talk about how they had incorporated emergency preparedness into their curricula. So that was really quite fun to hear. I mean, we had one faculty member who brought a student presentation called The Redneck Guide to Disaster Preparedness. She's from a very rural part of the state, and it was something that her students had put together, and it was very cute. You know, somebody came and brought a triage exercise. Some people brought class outlines or schedules. You know, there were a couple of, I think, lectures that were shared that people came and talked about the lectures. We also had a nurse from one of the local health departments who came and talked about SORT, which is the Student Outreach and Response Team, which is a program actually with School of Public Health students, so MPH students, and the local health department. But the idea was that you could have a SORT team with nursing students. And so Ariane wanted to share sort of the experience they had had with this setting up this SORT team and suggest that perhaps this might be something faculty in the nursing schools might do. Our most recent summit was just this past April. And again, we always have involved local and state public health in these summits, and we expanded that. Often we have the chief nurse of emergency preparedness from the state who came. Well, she brought a whole contingent. She brought several of her colleagues, so we had a number of different updates from the Georgia Division of Public Health. We also had colleagues from Arizona who came to talk about a shooting that had happened on their college campus several years ago and the lessons learned and what they've done since that time. In the afternoon of this summit, we devoted it to talking about tabletop exercises, both in terms of giving folks an overview of tabletop exercises and then some hands-on experience with a tool. And Laura mentioned this when she talked about the Leadership Institute, but with something called Master the Disaster. And Master the Disaster was a CD, or is a CD-ROM, that our center developed this past year in collaboration with one of our local health departments, and it's a tabletop exercise generator. You can very quickly use it to create and then customize a tabletop exercise in one of seven different scenarios. What we did for the summit is we focused on four scenarios. So after the participants went and learned a little bit about tabletop exercises, they split into four rooms and together created a tabletop exercise and then came and reported back to the big group. You know, benefits of the summit, it has really provided an opportunity for networking among the nursing faculty in Georgia's nursing preparation programs, whether they are from the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state, you know, whether they have a master's program or, you know, all the different kinds of nursing programs. They all are in one room and they are communicating and networking with each other. It also provides an opportunity for networking among nursing faculty and public health, because we have always involved state and local public health folks in these summits. It's provided an opportunity for ongoing discussions surrounding emergency preparedness in nursing curricula, and also an opportunity to really think about how you integrate emergency preparedness topics in the curricula. And in fact, we have seen some faculty that have started to do that in the couple of years that we've been doing these summits. In terms of evaluation, after each summit, participants are asked to fill out an evaluation, you know, things like, well, what insight did you get from ... fill in the name of the session, you know, from your perspective or from your school's perspective, what are the relevant ideas that came from your discussions about integrating emergency preparedness into the curriculum, how will you change your practice or your teaching based on your participation, those kinds of things. After the second summit, we had an in-depth evaluation and follow-up. And here we really wanted to look at three things. We wanted to determine the degree to which emergency preparedness was integrated into nursing programs and the methods that were used to do so, to determine the degree to which emergency preparedness will be integrated into nursing programs. So it already was, what are they going to do in the future? And then thirdly, to determine the extent to which the first two summits had contributed to nursing faculty knowledge, skills, and abilities to teach and incorporate emergency preparedness into their nursing programs. And just to real quickly tell you a couple of things about the conclusions, 3/4 of the summit participant respondents, the respondents to this survey, had incorporated emergency preparedness into their curriculum using a variety of methods. They also felt that the two summits had prepared them well in terms of increasing their knowledge about emergency preparedness and helping them think about how they might incorporate emergency preparedness into their curricula. And then they also thought a third summit would be welcomed. And in fact, not only did we give them a third summit, we gave them a fourth summit as well. In terms of, you know, what does the future hold, one of the activities that we have planned to do this year was a culminating colloquium where we brought together the scholars from the nursing leadership institutes that we've done, so from those five institutes, and the participants from the summit. As is true, you know, in all of our communities, times are rough in the state of Georgia, and there have been a lot of budget cuts and travel restrictions in Georgia. So we're hoping that will ease up some. We haven't given up on this, but we're sort of uncertain whether we will, in fact, be able to do this colloquium or not. And with that, here's our contact information, and we'll take questions.
One thing in emergency public health that, I mean, you certainly touched on is educating our workforce about responding to disaster. But a parallel question to that is trying to assess whether our workforce will be able to come in and help to respond. Can you talk about whether or not you assess if people's behaviors and their attitudes towards preparing their own households changed after coming to your institutes, whether they felt that they had taken more steps to prepare their households? Did you assess that at all?
We never formally did that, but I think in some of the discussions, and I'm thinking it was either Fulton County, I think it's probably Fulton County, a couple of institutes ago, I think in some of the discussion, because at this capstone presentations, we have opportunity to have all kinds of discussion, and my recollection is while we didn't formally do what you're suggesting, which is a terrific suggestion, is that informally people did talk about the importance of making sure that their families were prepared, and I can think of one person in particular who really talked about that a lot, because in her family and in her extended family, she's the person everybody comes to. And I think she probably did start to open up some dialogue with some of the family members through the Institute, but we haven't formally looked at that.
Well, and I can't remember if that was one of the next steps that they might have identified for themselves, but it was part of the discussion at our most recent Institute, and something that was captured, I think, in the proceedings documents. So it might not have been a next step, but it was obviously something that they felt like it was a concern within their district.
And it was something that they brought, it was an issue they brought up rather than it being something that Laura and I said, hey, did you think about?
Yeah.
Or said.
Other questions? Well, thank you for that wonderful presentation.